भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
I'm going to read this morning from chapter 3, chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. This the killing of the demon Hiranyaksha, and the initial 22 verses of the chapter was the battle beginning between Lord Viraha and Hiranyaksha. A whole series of verses without purport, just the battle scene, back and forth, saying harsh things, back and forth. Throwing things. So the previous verse was the demigods prayed to the Lord finish him, so he got his Sudarshan chakra and ready to go. Then verse 23, at that very moment a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband, Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breasts. Report. As Hiranyaksha's, at Hiranyaksha's last moment, his mother Diti remembered what her husband had said. Although her sons would be demons, they would have the advantage of being killed by the personality of Godhead himself. She remembered the incident by the grace of the Lord, and her breasts flowed blood instead of milk. In many instances, we find that when a mother is moved by affection for her sons, milk flows from her breasts. In the case of the demon's mother, the blood could not transform into milk, but it flowed down her breasts as it was. Blood transforms into milk. To drink milk is auspicious, but to drink blood is inauspicious, although they are one and the same thing. This formula is applicable in the case of cow's milk also. I'm going to read the next verse in purport. Text 24. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he at once, again, came into the presence of the personality Godhead, Keshava, and full of rage, he tried to embrace him with his arms to crush him. But to his greatest amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. Purport. In this verse, the Lord is addressed as Keshava because he killed the Keshi, the demon Keshi, in the beginning of creation. I looked up to see if there is such a thing as any reference to the demon Keshi in the beginning of creation. I couldn't find it. Madhu and Kaitava, yes. I didn't have to look for that one, but Keshi, no mention other than this purport. Keshava is also a name of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations, and it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, exists simultaneously in his different incarnations and expansions. The demon's attempt to measure the Supreme Personality of Godhead is significant. The demon wanted to embrace him with his arms, thinking that with his limited arms he could capture the Absolute by material power. He did not know that God is the greatest of the great and the smallest of the small. No one can capture the Supreme Lord by or bring him under his control. But the demoniac person always attempts to measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Lord. By his inconceivable potency, the Lord can become the universal form, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, and at the same time, he can remain within the box of his devotees as their worshipable deity. There are many devotees who keep a statue of the Lord in a small box and carry it with them everywhere. Every morning they worship the Lord in the box. The Supreme Lord Keshava, or the Personality of Godhead Krishna, is not bound by any measurement of our calculation. He can remain with his devotee in any suitable form, yet he is unapproachable by any amount of demoniac activities. The usual description of Keshava has to do with his hair, long, beautiful hair. That's standard. Item of curiosity. The Lord killing the demon Keshi at the beginning of creation. And even the Lord killing Keshi in Vrindavan. We don't know him as Keshava because he killed the Keshi demon in Vrindavan. It remained an item of curiosity. And from that, Prabhupada goes into this explanation of Keshava's name of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And within Krishna is everything, because he's the source of everything. And all expansions, his different incarnations and expansions, they all exist within him, or he is within them, that is, in the sense that he's the cause of them, as the cause of all causes. And then comes this discussion about trying to measure or capture that which has no limit. Well, you can't. The mind can't, the arms can't, any material effort can't. Because he's everything. It's similar to Mother Yashoda's trying to bind Krishna with rope, because he had already shown Mother Yashoda that within him is everything, the whole cosmic manifestation. Everything is within him. So how do you get a rope big enough to go around the cosmic manifestation? It'd be a really big rope. So at the same time he can be the small child of Mother Yashoda, and at the same time so big that all the universes are within him at the same time. Just like the Brahma-samhita verse, Eko Piso Rachayatam Jagadandakoti. All the universes exist in him, and simultaneously he, in his fullness, is within every atom. At the same time. So, good luck, Hiranyaksha, trying to capture the personality thought head. What was going on previously is in the course of their combat, the Lord struck Hiranyaksha, and then he just disappeared. He had mystic powers, and then all these mystical things started appearing in the sky and coming at the Lord, just mystic powers. When the Sudarshan Chakra appeared, his mystic powers were defeated. And that's where he started running at the Lord with his arms crushing, put his arms around him, and then the Lord is outside of his arms. Powerful, but not powerful enough. Because there's what power can match the power of the Supreme Lord? There's a number of those circumstances, and when it's the devotee, like Lord Brahma showing his power, Krishna showed his power, and the result for Lord Brahma was submission to the personality of Godhead, and the result of Hiranyaksha is he doesn't get it. And so the inimical state of a demoniac mentality is, even if shown the superlative nature of the personality of Godhead, with their own eyes they can see, they can't accept. A nice section in Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha that says this is one of the stages of offense, or anarthas within the heart is even one sees, one cannot see, or pashati na pashati, they can see. The example he gives is of Drona, Duryodhana seeing the partial universal form in the royal assembly. He couldn't accept that he's God. He's got some mystic power. But I know a lot of people, a lot of yogis, they have mystic power. And I have mystic power too. So, the demoniac mentality is very consistent. And the principle of demoniac life is not acceptance of the personality of Godhead. Listening to one lecture recently, and Prabhupada was saying, it's very simple. You accept the personality of Godhead. If not, demon. big scholar. Don't accept the personality of Godhead. Demon. So big politician, has many people that elected him to the power. Doesn't accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, demon, like that. So, and some demoniac persons are more stubborn than others. And Hiranyaksha, very, very stubborn. This other reference to ditti, in an earlier section, ditti approached her husband for having children at an inauspicious time. But she was quite insistent. And he yielded to her insistence, but then indicated, because of this inauspicious time, your children will be demons. By some special benediction, that they'll be killed by the personality of Godhead, so they'll be relieved of all that demoniac spirit. So she remembered when she's somehow witnessing this battle and feeling, my son will now be killed. The Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Vishnu will surely kill my son. So she was feeling this strong affection for her son. And in feeling that strong affection, instead of milk flowing from her breast, as it's described here, affectionate mothers, sometimes that happens. In relation to Mother Sachi, it's said over and over, it happened regularly. She had such affection for Imai. But so the two are the same thing. This milk of a cow or milk of a mother or milk. Milk is a transformation of blood. And if it doesn't get transformed into milk, then this other manifestation. So it's the point that Prabhupada is making at the end is cow's milk is very auspicious and nutritious and beneficial. However, the other form of blood itself is the opposite. And demoniac mentality is take the milk and then kill the cow. And horrible, horrible mentality. Just hearing these narrations of the Lord and his pastimes is because it's a major part of this is reciprocation with the demigods. Of course, the whole thing is a lila of the Lord. In any case, so the demigods, they're put into a difficult situation. The earth has fallen out of orbit. And the demoniac Hiranyaksha is the person responsible. So please do something. So the Lord does something. He rescues the earth, big battle, back and forth battle, the demigods, please finish him. They didn't have the capacity. He was more powerful than the demigods. Then where do demons get their power from? From the same place the demigods get their power from. If that's the case, why are the demons more powerful than the demigods who are receiving their power from the same source? And this contest between divine and demoniac, it's not that always the demoniac must be weaker, because after all, if you're divine, then you should be stronger. In the end, it goes in the favor of the divine. But demoniac may be more powerful. Look at the circumstance of the world. Divine and demoniac. Demoniac is certainly winning. But in the end, those who are divine, or those who take shelter of the personality of God, they're protected. And eventually become victorious. Now, in some cases, the demoniac becomes so powerful that the Lord personally has to come. That's what happens in this age of Kali. The demoniac force becomes so strong and overwhelming that the personality of God comes and sets it straight. And for us, given the circumstance that the world is in, Lord Chaitanya has come to give us the Sankirtan process that counteract the influence of demoniac culture. Demoniac culture is still advancing, that's for sure. But in the lives of devotees, we can be protected from that, the worst of it, and make the advancement of this demoniac force slowed down. The golden age within the iron age, in other words, this is Yuga Dharma. It's important to take shelter of it, and it's important to propagate it as a service to the personality of Godhead, a service to those who are victims of the age of Kali. Now, some persons, they're the agents of Kali, not just victims of Kali. So such persons, they're not going to respond favorably. But many persons, they respond favorably. And so the propagation is needed. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Any thoughts or discussion on this?
Well, I was thinking that the prevailing of the demoniac nature or situations is almost like a necessity for creating opportunities to take shelter of Krishna. Because if there is no obstacle, then what is the motivation for...
Complacency. Satsang. Well... Also, it's just the modes of nature, and it's one of them is ignorance, and within everything in the material world is ignorance, and there's degrees of it. So there's superlative degrees of it. It's just part of the territory. Obstacles in the form of ignorance harassing good people is the further impetus to take shelter. But it's not exactly, I mean, one of the arguments that people make is you have to know what misery is in order to know what happiness is. You have to suffer in order to know what being happy is. It's just, so it's good. So yes, it's a consequence when there's demoniac forces that it accelerates shelter taking. But good association can accelerate shelter taking as well. Same. Satya Yoga and the association of saintly persons is an impetus for taking shelter. But the modes of nature are there.
Hey, Krishna. It reminds me the transformation of blood turns into milk. You know, like during my college days, when we talk about vegetarianism, like it's quite common, especially in India, like people who argue like, you know how the milk is also a form of a blood, and you consume blood. I struggled how to give them, you know, I would say like that's a nature's arrangement, but it's still like not convincing. On the other end, when you talk about the plants, the degree of a pain is very limited. That's quite convincing. What is there any suggestions or recommendations to give an explanation from on the aspect of the milk?
I think it's fine, nature's arrangement. Cows don't give calves milk or blood, they give milk. And within the milk, one is the mode of goodness product, and the other is a mode of passion product, coming from the body. One is clean and the other is impure. One is pure, the other is impure. Exactly. Nature's arrangement. And so if persons aren't convinced, they want blood.
Gunnar, may I ask a question on today's topic?
Yeah, okay.
So, I have a couple of situations, like, one is when I invite a couple of, our friends to home programs, so they offer, with love, for sure they're asking with love, may I also cook something and bring, so we don't know their standards. How they will they offer, or they do worship demigods, so we don't know their offering standards. So how should I tackle the situation?
Srila Prabhupada set a standard that was really simple. This is from the days when there were no temples in India, and he, along with he called it the World Sankirtan Party, they traveled from place to place. And people would invite them. So the person who was the organizer had a set of questions. Are you vegetarian? Yes or no? And then, so, yes. And do you cook with onions and garlic or no? Can you cook without onions and garlic? Yes. Very good. You can prepare such and such, bring it here, and we'll show you how to offer. That's a public, it's we don't have a temple, we don't have any situation, we're just going into their territory. And if the answer, the family said, no, we're not vegetarian, then the answer is we can accept fruit and milk. We'll offer that to Krishna. So this is different. This is families that, you can prepare everything. You don't need them to prepare anything. But they want. So, yes. Similar set of questions. Are you vegetarian? And if the answer is no, then you can bring some salad. and if it's yes, can you cook without onions and garlic? And so, but we don't know what their standards of cleanliness are and so forth. But we can say, this is because you've done a little lesson without offending them. That may be a little challenging to, without offending them, but because this is our training. You've heard the phrase cleanliness is next to godliness. Yeah. So we're when cooking, please keep everything very clean. And I'll show you when you bring it, how to offer. You maybe just have them make rice or something that's not too difficult. Doesn't happen. Because how devotees prepare with spicing and this thing and that. It's very different.
Yeah. Another situation is yesterday we invited for the home program, and the same way they also invite us. They are from different practice, and they say we have another Swamiji who's also talking about Bhagavad Gita. We are getting a couple of invitations, and it's very difficult for us to
say no.
Yeah.
Do they invite you to their home, or they invite you to their gatherings, or both?
Gatherings, not the home.
Hmm. I never had to navigate that territory myself. What would you say?
Depends on the relationship. If it is very early, then I don't see any advantage to going there, because they're already caught up in a particular track. It would be hard to extricate from that kind of association. But if the relationship is strong, then you can do probably more to establish the point where what is the right source, what is not the right source, kind of probing into that area and try to investigate with the background of the person who is coming, and then emphasizing on the principle of hearing in the discipling succession. That's what is coming to mind.
Surely it depends. So my thoughts are, surely it depends on the relationship. Everything depends on relationship. And I imagine, because I don't hear this question much, I imagine what devotees do is they just make excuses, and you know, they can't come this time, they can't come that time, they can't come that time, and then eventually they get the idea that you don't want to come. our child has an exam and I have to help him. He has a big something, something, something. Not feeling well, I have to stay home. And so, pretty much what you said. I'm thinking a situation in China where somebody started coming around, associating with the devotees, learned two or three things, and then went off and started their own, you know, organization, and speculating all over the place. And then Chinese culture is such that once there's a teacher, he's looked at like father, and they can't break away. I mean, they can, but it's you know, culturally a challenge. So one devotee met some of these people, and so, you know, they're just spending time, hours and hours, going over stuff, and it's, you know, the sentiment for the teacher, the cultural sentiment for the teacher, is hard to break. But you know, the discussion is education about what's what. So for example, these people, they have their Swamiji, but they also have Bhagavad Gita, and the Swamiji has to say what Bhagavad Gita says, otherwise he ain't Swamiji. So you have to discuss this, you know, aside from this one, that one, this, just let's look at Bhagavad Gita. And what does Bhagavad Gita say? Lenny did a little bit of that yesterday. And Bhagavad Gita is very clear. They, you know, could you accept Bhagavad Gita? And they say yes. You know, you won. Or, you know, the chess game is over. You can, so have dialogue with them, gently and humble persuasion kind of dialogue. But, you know, we can take part in other organizations, functions, and activities, provided there's, you know, clarity on what the Siddhanta is. Now, so certainly there's such things as interfaith, but this is more social. So when it's social, not just interfaith, you're sharing your, our views are over here and the other's views are over there. We're not so comfortable. We're you know, stepping outside of what Krishna says, or what Bhagavad Gita teaches us. So let's have some discussion about what Bhagavad Gita teaches. How's that?
Sure.
And the after going through it, so you think about it, and this is the reason why I'm not so comfortable. Depends on the relationship, what you've been saying. And then they talk to their friends, and their friends aren't of the same wavelength, and they freak out. Like, it's a little touchy. Yeah.
Maharaj, Hiranyaksha, and then whenever we discuss demons, it always reminds me of my own propensity to do harm or damage. I mean, not to that extent where, you know, the earth is knocked out of the orbit, but even when I'm doing some service or at the temple or elsewhere, the thought that it's kind of like a double-edged sword, where I could do it wrong and it could be much worse than not doing anything at all. It always disturbs me, Maharaj, that my own propensity to do harm.
Well, it started sounding much darker than the way it ended up. But by what you mean by your propensity for doing harm is, if you make a mistake, and maybe there may be some collateral damage when you make the mistake, that's propensity for doing harm. That's what you're referring to.
Right. Like, for as example, I might be doing some service at the temple, and in the process, because of my own imperfections, I could hurt somebody or something, like not pay proper respect or something.
Okay, you're not like drop a pot on their head. Social sensitivity is good, but it shouldn't paralyze you. Just, you go along, otherwise you're going to live in a cave. What are you going to do? You try to improve. And seek Krishna's protection and the devotee's acceptance of you for your despite your imperfections, as you accept others despite imperfections, because we're on this path of trying to purify ourselves. So I hear what you're saying. It's not just occasionally, it's something that, that troubles you, that haunts you or something. You go on the other side as Krishna's kind. And Krishna will protect you and will protect the others. So navigate, you know, the, your steering wheel is sincerity. And just move away from situations that are intentionally, at least, you know, knowingly hurtful to others, and the unintentional, you're taking shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, what? How can you? What's the path of purification? It's devotional service. And devotional service may have some flaws or some mistakes, but Krishna will accept and Krishna will correct. So, Kshipram Bhavati Dharma. You know the verse? 9:34. Just after Apichetsu Duracharo, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma, Krishna will correct everything. So you're not alone, you're with Krishna. You know something?
Oh yeah, I did. Like, is there any reason in like scriptures for why we have salt water in the oceans?
No. Prabhupada gives a reason, but I don't know if it's scriptural. He said it just preserves everything. And then, so that we can get fresh water, there's an arrangement to get fresh water from the vast salt water. Water is evaporated and comes down as clouds without salt. So we have drinking water and we have salt water. That's all he says. I've never heard anything scriptural why there's salt in the ocean.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. So this is about Kith and Kin.
Which?
Kith and Kin are immediate relations, like mother and...
Kith and Kin, yeah. Okay. Now I get it.
So, especially I'm talking about my mom. She's been chanting 16 rounds for the past almost year or so. But she has, before she started chanting, she has been hearing to the impersonal talks of various other kind of cults. So I tried giving her some options of, you know, listening to our lectures, but she's very much convinced with chanting of 16 rounds. She feels much better with that. But hearing part, she's not ready to... she's not reluctant, but not very comfortable in getting to hear also. So I was like wondering if there is something that I can do.
This is right on the topic of our Bhagavatam class this morning. Been an interesting question and answer session. Salt in the ocean. I know your mother, so I don't know what to say, what will help her appeal, you know, as your son. This is a request I'm making of you, Mom. Please. maybe. You know, son to mother, and just motherly affection. Or, you know, take it one step further. Let me read one verse from Bhagavad Gita to you, you know, once a week. And so she starts, you know, select verses that are not challenging, but, you know, nice. And so she gets a sense, and maybe gets a taste. I don't remember. Pratarachimabhagavatam ki.
Yeah.